tonight, Psalm 100. Thank y'all for the good singing tonight. Appreciate Brother J.D. stepping in and doing an excellent job leading us in our opening song, and then Ryan and Tori, most appropriate singing considering this time of the week, time of the year, so on and so forth. Simple the message is, and yet how proud, how profound. Just want to thank you, Lord. Psalm 100. Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Our Father, we just beg you right before we try to preach your word tonight, you'd, Lord, come on the scene. Lord, we pray that you'd take us over. Lord, you forgive us of every spot and stain. God, do that through us and by us that we cannot do ourselves. And I pray, Lord, in the time and the minutes allotted tonight, that you would speak to your people through your word. God, help us to see and understand this thing of thanksgiving in a fresh and a new way. Thank you for the good singing we've had. God, I thank you for each one that's made their way out on this rainy Tuesday evening. Thank you, Lord, for our visitors. Lord, how we treasure them tonight. And Lord, everyone who's visiting with us, I pray, God, you'd speak to their heart, you'd move in their soul, as in the members seated before us. Do that, that will bring you honor and glory in this service. God, I pray that when we turn out the lights and go to our homes, Lord, we can leave this place saying that we did what you'd have us to do. And to that end, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name, just for his sake, amen. I want to preach just for a few minutes tonight on the treasure of thanksgiving. The Bible says in verse number 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The aspect of holidays, America loves their holidays. And I believe if you were to take a poll, and I'm sure polls have been done and questions asked, what is your favorite holiday, then most people would probably say Christmas. There were those that are more summer-minded would love the 4th of July with the barbecue and the picnics, the parades and the lake and the ocean and all of that associated with the 4th of July. There's probably a good number of people, a growing number of people that like Halloween. Father's Day, Mother's Day, Labor Day, these are other holidays that people might would list as one of their favorite holidays. I believe one of the most neglected and probably one of the most ignored holidays on our calendar or schedule of holidays is this day called Thanksgiving Day. You say, well, preacher, it's a major holiday. Yes, but it's just simply a prelude for most people to get into the holiday season, the Christmas season. It's a day for feasting, for family, and for football for the vast majority of Americans. There are very few people even in our churches that understand what biblical Thanksgiving is all about. If we understood that, then it would not be one of 365 days that we set aside and we come aside and emphasize it. It would be an attitude daily. If we understand the true nature of Thanksgiving, it would be an attitude daily where we got up and we arose with breath in our lungs and we opened our eyes and saw a world that God had allowed us to stay in, and we would be truly thankful to him tonight. I believe that the day or the holiday of Thanksgiving is one that is diminishing in popularity. It is diminishing in importance. Don't say Turkey Day around me. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to say anything back to you. I don't like Turkey Day. It's not Turkey Day. It is Thanksgiving Day. And whether you're having turkey or hen or rabbit or duck or goose or whatever, ham, whatever you're having, it's so much more than Turkey Day. Thanksgiving. It's a treasure. Do you realize that Thanksgiving is one of the few human things that we can give God, and He accepts it and He receives it? And the Bible says, yea, He is blessed by our thanksgiving. We can't manufacture much in this old flesh, but we ought to be able to come up with an attitude and a joyful spirit of thanksgiving to our Lord and Savior every single day of our lives. I believe in this thought of the treasure of thanksgiving. There's three things I'm going to quickly bring out. And then you that are, the Lord touches your heart, you want to share with the church what you're thankful about, we'll give you that opportunity. Notice, first of all, the will for thanksgiving. The will for thanksgiving. The Bible says in Leviticus 22:29, and I can almost hear somebody say, oh, preacher, that's that book of Leviticus, that's that book of laws and ordinances for the Jewish people, the Israelite people. None of it in there now applies to us. And I would just say, broaden your mind. As the world says, have a broad and open mind when it comes to spiritual matters. There is much in the Old Testament. There's a vast store of things still relevant to us today. And in chapter 22 of the book of Leviticus, in verse 29, the Bible says, and when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, notice this, offer it at your own will. You realize that thanksgiving cannot be ginned up. It cannot be manufactured at will. The attitude of gratitude is God-given within us. You say, well, preacher, give me proof of that. How grateful to God were you before you were saved? How many times did you dwell on the goodness of God and what He had done for you and how He had blessed you before you became a child of God? It is the very will of thanksgiving that God gifts us. But the Bible says when you offer it, it's not to be conjured up and encouraged by the preacher. It's not to be put a guilt trip on you or a coercion by anybody to make you feel like, well, I need to be more thankful. It must be something that comes and emanates from within. This attitude of the biblical thanksgiving. The psalmist in 116 verse 17 gives the attitude. He gives the mindset of those that would be thankful unto God, where he says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In Leviticus 22:29, we see that it has to be offered of our own will. In verse number 17 of Psalm 116, we see him saying that very same thing. I will. If it's got to be that I want it to be so, then I want it to be so. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I believe for you to know the treasure of thanksgiving and concerning the will for it, it has to emanate and it has to come from within. In other words, there has to be somebody on the inside that can generate that thing called thanksgiving. It's an acquired attitude if you want to just know the real fact of the matter. A lost person cannot know God. The Bible says he does not know God. And if he doesn't know God, then he cannot know the greatness and the specialness and the bountifulness of that God. He can be glad that he got a raise at work. He can be glad perhaps that, you know, he was able to buy a new car, he bought a place at the beach or whatever. But this kind of thanksgiving that I'm talking about tonight, it comes from the heart of the saved person. This is in view in our text. If you look back in Psalm 100 in verse 3, where the Bible says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Now notice in these verses here, or in these phrases here, it is He that hath made us. And while he's talking about creation, he's talking about also the creation or generation of that spiritual man. If you're alive today toward God, if there's somebody on the inside of you that is spirit indwelled, it is God who made that possible. It is He that hath made us. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I believe this, only the believer can offer unto God true biblical thanksgiving. There's no generation of it in the flesh. There's no possibilities in the fallen nature to come up with this type or this treasure of thanksgiving. Paul said as much in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, when he said, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." If you have a desire to be at church, thank God for that. If you have a desire to live for God, thank God for that. If you have a desire to share the Lord with other people, thank God for these wondrous gifts that he gives you that everybody doesn't have. It's an acquired attitude. It's acquired, of course, through salvation. Here's the attitude of the lost person. Here's the attitude of those that have not been saved, never been regenerated. You talk about people that don't know what Thanksgiving is. Paul outlines the mindset of those that are strangers to the grace of God. He says in verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." And right off the top of the list, he says, "Neither were thankful. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." And if you'll read the rest of those verses there, he goes on to talk about the deplorable state of the lost man. Whether you're visiting with us tonight or you're a member, if you're lost and in your sin, I am preaching to something that is alien toward you, and that is a thanksgiving, a heartfelt thanksgiving unto God. It's not only an acquired attitude, it's an exercised expression. This will for thanksgiving must be often used in exercise. Everybody understands the analogy of exercise, do you not? If you don't use it, you lose it kind of thing. Some of you younger people, you hit the gyms, you hit the athletic clubs, and I understand all that. When I was younger, I used to like to go to the gym. I accumulated a good bit of equipment at home, and I used to like to work out and all of that. And I understood that which you did not exercise would fade and it would go away. Everybody knows who Arnold Schwarzenegger is. If you know anything about politics or know anything about movies or know anything about bodybuilding or know anything about pop culture, he was the former governor of California, and in his prime, he was quite impressive in how he looked. Well, he was coming up about the time that, all of us were hitting our stride as teenagers, and we would see this man with the 54-inch chest and the 22-inch biceps and thighs as big as tree trunks, and we wanted to be like him. He'd be the first to tell you that it was hard work, hours after hours after countless hours in the gym, exercising that particular body part to get it to where he got it. Point being is, you look at him today. Yes, he's old, but you look at him without the benefit of that daily exercise, he's a shell of him former self. So it is with the Christian. So it is with this thing of thanksgiving. You keep all of that gratitude and all that thanksgiving in your heart, and you never see a need to express it. And we'll have a little bit more to say about that just in a moment. But you don't use that gift that God gives you of glorifying him for that which he has done. It will diminish in you when you become less and less and less and less of a child of God as far as your effectiveness and your witness for him. The wicked hath said in Psalm 50, verse 16, "What hast thou to do to declare my statutes? But unto the wicked God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee, thou givest thy mouth to evil and thy tongue frameth deceit." There's nowhere in there when God's characterizing the mindset of the lost that the word thanksgiving is even alluded to or even in the most abstract of terms mentioned. Because the lost cannot appreciate and sense and feel that thanksgiving. I read this illustration about the great preacher Dr. Harry Allen Ironside. And he said that he went into a crowded restaurant one day. I mean, the restaurant was just overflowing and he was fortunate to find himself a little two-place table, and he sat down and ordered. And as he was sitting there and his food was coming, Another man came in, a stranger, and because of the crowd that was pressing in the restaurant, he asked Dr. Ironside, could he sit down and share the table with him? And of course, Dr. Ironside, that great preacher, the first of the 20th century, said, sure, sit down. As the food came, Dr. Ironside lowered his head and began to pray silently as his wont was, thanking God for his food. The man looked at him and said, well, is there something wrong with your food? Dr. Ironside said, no. He said, well, do you have a headache? No, don't have a headache. I was simply thanking God for the food that he's allowed me to have here today. Amen. The man replied, well, you're one of those, are you? Well, I want you to know I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in. Dr. Ironside, with that inimitable wit of his, said, yeah, my dog does exactly the same thing. You ever fed your dog? Does he look up at you and, thank you, ruff, ruff, ruff. No, that dog's in on that food just as hard as he can go. No gratitude, no sense of gratitude. Thought that was so apt. Secondly, the word of thanksgiving. We've seen the will for thanksgiving. Notice the word of thanksgiving. The psalmist said in Psalm 26, verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell, T-E-L-L, of all thy wondrous works. What profit is there to have an attitude or a sense of thanksgiving and you're the only one knows about it? God said that the inside of man is only seen by him himself. He looks on the inside. The rest of humanity reads us by what they see on the outside. And if we don't show a gratitude, if we don't tell of a gratitude unto God, if we don't express our gratitude unto God, then we are just so much empty vessels. You know, we walk around all day feeling gratitude, and if we don't express that, and the world never sees that in us, of what profit or glory to God is that? I believe there's two things in view here on this word of thanksgiving. First of all, is a public praise. In Psalm 116, verse 17, the psalmist said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I'm not one of these preachers who don't think if you're not jumping pews and shouting and running the aisles that you're not spiritual. I'm not one of them. But there ought to be times where somebody sitting here observing us, they ought to sense that this person knows the Lord and he's grateful for that which God's done for him. Somewhere between keeping silent, so much so that the rocks would have to cry out, and somewhere between that and those that are constantly talking and when they're here and testifying and stuff and all of that, and they don't walk right when they are out in the world, there's the place for the believer. There's a public praise, but there's also a private prayer. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. I don't want to get on this, but let me just say, there should not be a verse in the Bible, have to be a verse in the Bible that says, every born-again Christian, it is forbidden for you to touch alcohol. There shouldn't have to be a verse about that. There's ample enough verses that tell you and warn you of the excesses of alcohol, and it ought not be numbered among God's people that we are given over to excess, particularly in the nature of alcohol. And he tells us this in Ephesians 5:18, that we're not to be drunk with wine, but we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. And he goes on in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He's talking about in your private place, all by yourself. These are things that should be going on. Giving thanks in verse 20, always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of all our petitions,
in our prayer closet, there ought to be a double heaping helping of praising. I believe with all my heart, if we praise God more, it would revolutionize, it would change our prayer life and who we are. I'm giving the very short version, so we're going to get to not only the will for thanksgiving, the word of thanksgiving. Notice lastly, the walk in thanksgiving. The walk in thanksgiving. In Colossians 2, verse 6, Paul said, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Now he sets a high bar here for our daily living. It's a high bar when we receive Christ, is it not? It is the pinnacle, it's the ultimate in being saved by the grace of God. Would anybody disagree with that? That's the life changer. That's the pivot from going toward a place of destruction called hell to going to a place called heaven. The pivot point of Calvary, the pivot point of being born again and saved and receiving Christ. And Paul says, as you have received Christ, so walk with him or walk in him. There should be no lessening of the reality of Christ in our heart after salvation. He went on to say, rooted and built it up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Going back to what I said a while ago about public praise, it ought to be evident to people that we know the Lord. We should not have to wear a sign. We should not have to have Jesus tattooed 15 places. Shouldn't have to wear 20 cross necklaces for people to know that we're born again. I'll tell this at the risk of sounding like I'm exalting myself. I assure you I'm not, but for the purpose of illustrating what I'm talking about. I got a call years ago to Clemson, town of Clemson, to work on an elevator about 2 in the morning. It was a hotel that had one elevator. Those type situations, they will call you when their elevator breaks. And so I went down there, and I checked in with the front desk guy. And, of course, it's dead. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. There wasn't nobody around. And I spoke to him a few minutes, and then I proceeded to go and work on the elevator. And come back out and was talking to him a little bit more, and he just looked at me quizzically, and he said, "Are you a preacher?" And I'm standing there with a elevator uniform on, my service company that I was involved in. I'm not thumping a Bible. I'm not quoting scripture. I'm certainly not with a coat and tie or anything like that. And he just said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Well, yes, I am." He said, I knew just talking to you and praise the Lord for this. He said, "I knew talking to you, there's something going on between us, and I just knew that you knew the Lord." It blessed me beyond measure. It humbled me beyond measure. And I left there rejoicing that, I'd been able to hook up with a brother in Christ at 2 in the morning in a place called Clemson, where I was aggravated by having to go down there, but got a tremendous blessing just sitting there and fellowshipping with some clerk. I've never seen him before or since in that hotel. Preacher, what was it? I don't know, other than just carrying ourselves above board, carrying ourselves as children of God, carrying ourselves as though there's a reason for living. Walking in thanksgiving. That walk must be an open walk. The world must see it. The world has to see it. Jesus alluded to this in Matthew 5, verse 14. He used the analogy of a light, but it's the same thing of being seen for the cause of Christ, where he says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Lord, help us that the world only sees the bad side. I don't want the world to see my humanity. Too often, I'm afraid that's what they see. They see my the human side of me, but we ought to walk in such a fashion that people see something different about us. An open walk of thanksgiving. And I want to say lastly, an ongoing walk. Too many people start this race and quit it. Too many people began with a bang and fade out in a fizzle. Thank God for the faithful that just keep on plugging along. I don't expect some of you to swing from these chandeliers. It would shock me. There's no way I could. That's not who I am. But day in and day out, it's a joy to come to this church and see you in your place, see you the same as you were last week, plugging along, serving God, faithful to doing that which He's called you to do. It's an ongoing walk, and I'm thankful for that, in that seeing that in you. People speak in conclusion of the commercialization of Christmas, the secularization of Easter, and I would say I'd have to agree with that. I don't think there's any argument anybody in here that Christmas is nothing representative of what it should be in this world. Easter, right behind it, the secularization of Easter. I've yet to figure out what Easter Bunny has to do with Easter, but I guess somewhere it's as relevant as Santa Claus and elves is to Christmas. But the Bible, it ought to mean so much more to the believer. And this thing of Thanksgiving also, we've got to do our diligence to ensure that God never sees an ungrateful and unthankful us, but He sees our spirit, that we're grateful every day of our lives for that which He's done. Colossians 3:15, and I'll close with this. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And he concludes with this phrase, and be ye thankful. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for a minute.